Greetings, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my best friend in life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear, and shalom to all as we ask for God's blessing upon the listeners and on this program.
Abba, Father, we exhort your holy name and worship you alone. We apologize for the sins of America as we continue to lift up our president and all our righteous leaders that are surrounded with increasing unrighteousness. May you show favor to the prayer request of your saints. Please write your word on the hearts of our children and muster up the souls of all our lost loved ones. And may today's teaching truly bless you, O God. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And thank you so much for joining us, and we pray you are sharing these broadcasts with others. Today, we are going to skip the news portion, because sometimes we just need a break from it. And rather, we will focus on what we think are highly pertinent, frequently asked questions that have been asked over the years and still today. So, we're going to get right into it. So, honey, please ask the first question.
Okay, who are the 144,000 during the tribulation, and what is their importance?
Now, some of you might not think this is important to know, because after all, we will have departed just prior to Revelation 6, except that there are a few fine details surrounding these very blessed people that will actually confirm to us a pre-trib rapture, especially since there are still many born-again believers that are teetering on the fence concerning this subject. Perhaps today's often missed gold nugget, in my estimation, will help to clear up any vacillation.
Okay, so let's first put it in a nutshell and then detail.
Okay. Basically, 144,000 Jews will be divinely sealed for physical protection at the onset of the 7 years of God's judgment.
Okay, and why is this?
Well, to take over for the departed virgin church in order to continue spreading the salvation message to those left behind, which is why they are then referred to as the virgins, spiritually, of course, because they have not defiled themselves with other gods, represented by the harlot woman. Spiritual adultery has always been the number one sin, still today, and why God had to divorce them, as we read in Jeremiah 3:8. But before we expand on all this, let's read in Revelation 7, where another messenger called an angel in English that we assume is Jesus Christ instructs the four angels not to begin any destruction until these 144,000 servants are sealed for their protection.
Well, it's kind of like the bride is sealed today.
Well, we are. Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 4 addresses that. And you know, the devil cannot kill us, as he will be able to do to the new believers during the tribulation, called the tribulation saints or martyrs, except he cannot kill the 144,000 because, as we will read, they will be sealed.
Okay, Revelation 7, 3 and 4. Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed.
Then verses 5 through 8 names each of the 12 tribes of Israel, and that there will be 12,000 from each of them. We should also point out that chapter 7 is one of those, like you can say, by the way chapters, because Revelation is mostly consecutive. But here and there, Jesus gives John an inside peek of necessary information, kind of like a footnote, but embedded within Scripture. And sometimes just a few verses within a chapter, like in oh, don't fret because see how it will be at the end, or these servants will not be harmed, etc.
Yes, also called parenthetical verses.
Yes. Scholars say there's seven of these in Revelation. It's kind of like, again, oh, by the way, passages.
Yeah, of course, Revelation seems to be full of seven.
Boy, is that an understatement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the sealing of the 144,000 virgins is further proof that we are not here for the tribulation. So since we are no longer on earth, God needs other virgins to preach that Jesus is the Messiah. And boy, will they.
Okay, the second part to this question is, how do these specific Jews get saved so quickly and all at once?
Well, the New Testament doesn't reveal that, but we have a pretty good idea by using Old Testament typology, which Hosea 12:10 validates is beneficial. And my thoughts, after many years of pondering this same question, as you know, takes me to Elijah, who just happened to be exceptionally blessed with the Holy Spirit permanency, which, except for Moses, according to Isaiah 63, the others did not. That is, until John the Baptist, who was actually a type of Elijah, who had the Holy Spirit even in his mother Elizabeth's womb, according to Luke 1. Remember King David in Psalm 51? He prayed that God would not take the Holy Spirit from him. We don't pray that because he's a permanent resident in all believers, especially since Acts chapter 2.
Yeah, so basically in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and go upon the prophets at the will of the Father.
That's right, except Moses and Elijah, which at some point in their lives, the Holy Spirit became permanent. Oh, and there is one more in the Old Testament, because when Elijah was taken up to heaven, he told his disciple Elisha, if he saw him go up to heaven, that he would throw him his mantle or cloak, and then he too would have the anointing.
Yeah, in fact, that's kind of a double anointing.
It was. Mm-hmm. And then we saw how Elisha never left Elijah's side, and therefore saw Elijah go up. So it is my thought, and a good possibility, since time will be a factor, that these 144,000 observant Orthodox Jews will have spiritual eyes to see us rise up and will become immediate believers in Yeshua as their Messiah. And not only will be divinely protected, they too will have a double Holy Spirit anointing, creating the greatest revival ever known to man.
Mm-hmm. But you know, many will die for that faith.
Yes, the martyrs in Revelation 17:6. But they'll all be in the millennial kingdom, never as the bride, however, but a different group who will actually serve the king, according to Revelation 7:15, where the bride, it's you and me, will rule with Christ, as we read in Revelation 5, verse 10. So here is a shout out. Better to be the bride before all this begins. And there is still time, people.
Yeah, you know, until that trumpet sounds.
Amen. The tribulation saints will be a great multitude that no one could even number, according to Revelation 7:9, which is why we always say to be sure and tell as many of the unsaved as you can how it will be, so they will remember when it happens and get saved immediately, because the seals will be opened soon after the rapture.
And maybe only a week.
Probably so. Okay, could you now read another eye-opening passage about the 144,000 in Revelation 14, also parenthetical, which jumps ahead to show John how it will be when the trib is all over. And that is also a huge clue in verse 4 that verifies our departure. Revelation 14, verses 1 through 5.
Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion.
That's Jerusalem.
and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads.
That was their seal of protection they received in Revelation 7. Of the father's initial called the Sheen, we've talked about that before on this program, and it represents always the father's name. Verse 2.
And I heard a voice from heaven.
So a voice coming from heaven confirming they were on the earth.
Like a voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth.
Again, they heard all this, the voices of water, thunder, harpists, and singing coming from heaven, and only the 144,000 would be able to learn this new song. By the way, each group has its own unique song. The bride with the others in heaven, we see Revelation chapter 5. The tribulation saints / martyrs, Revelation 15. And the 144,000, but their song is not recorded and will only be known to them. Verse 4.
These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God.
In other words, covered under the blood, as we are also without fault, Philippians 2:15. Did you notice in verse 4 how the 144,000 are referred to as the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb? This is huge and should always be used when defending our departure.
Okay, details please.
Well, in the Old Testament, Israel was called the first fruits unto God. Maybe you could read that, Hosea 9:10.
I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first fruits on the fig tree in its first season.
Now, today, we are the first fruits after Christ, according to 1 Corinthians, Romans 8, and James 1. For Jesus in Revelation 14 to call the 144,000 the first fruits could only mean they are the first fruits or the first ones to receive salvation in that day, in that dispensation. Why? Because we are no longer here. They would not be labeled as such if we were still here. For we are the first fruits to the Lamb, which therefore verifies that we are indeed leaving.
You know, this is what we term as connecting the dots.
Amen. And this should always be pointed out to those skeptics that think we are staying for any part of the tribulation. It's just not so.
Does not compute.
And saints of God, that should bring you added joy.
Hey, amen to that. The first fruits title is similar to the elect.
Yes, and in fact, we should talk about that because that is also a question that is frequently asked and often misconstrued. But first, let's tell our listeners how they can contact us with their own questions.
Yes, all right then. If you'd like to contact us, there are three ways to do that. You can send an email to Sheila at ChofarMinistries.net. Or just call the office and leave a detailed message as to your question to 440-834-9006. And be sure to leave your name and phone number. Also, by regular mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio. And if you appreciate and are blessed by this program, we would be very grateful for any love offering, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net, which includes all the past radio and teaching newsletters archived for your added learning.
And you know what? Let me also add that we, as most of you know, choose not to be on Facebook for many reasons. So we can only ask for your help through this broadcast and our newsletters. But times are tough right now, so we want to let our needs be known to you, at least to you listeners who are truly being blessed by this programming. Asking is not our strong point, so please understand this is difficult to do. But even just $10 a month from those who might be listening right now would help to pay this airtime and our other expenses. So, Saints, this was said from my heart that I pray has touched your heart as well.
Okay, another question often raised is, since we see the elect being gathered by the angels on earth at the end of the tribulation in Matthew 24, verse 31, how can you say the church is not here since we are the elect?
That is, again, similar to the first fruits application, because Israel, too, was also called his elect. In fact, why don't you read Isaiah 45, 4?
For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me.
So, God elected them even before they were born, because, and before they could even know him. So we see that Israel was called the elect in the Old Testament, and we know we are called his elect in the New Testament, Colossians 3:12. So it makes perfect sense and obvious to me that the tribulation saints would also be called the elect in Matthew 24, 31 during the tribulation, because, once again, we are no longer present. And we read that all his mortal saints are called his elect in the millennial kingdom. In fact, why don't you read Isaiah chapter 65, verse 22.
They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands.
Looking so forward to those days. So now I'm going to read what Matthew 24:31 says, as that verse concludes Jesus' short summary of the tribulation. And by the way, we have taught the whole chapter of Matthew 24 in a five-part series, which is all archived on our webpage, with the starting date January 23rd, 2018. Amazingly, post-tribbers will use this scripture to say that this verse proves we are here for the tribulation because the word elect is used. But if you use scripture to interpret scripture for proper hermeneutics, it is easily and more correctly comprehended. Verse 31 says, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Now, there's a lot to unpack in just this one verse. And we have already seen that the elect can certainly be the tribulation saints that makes it through the tribulation without being martyred. But what is also very revealing, if you are familiar at all with scripture, is that we see here that he sends his angels to gather the elect. So that in itself says it all. Because we know from 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15 that the rapture is a calling us up to meet Jesus in the air, along with the righteous dead at the last trump of God. The angels do not come down to gather his bride. Also, verse 31 is called the great trump, not the last trump. Different idiom. The great trump is an idiom according to our Jewish roots, which is only blown on a Yom Kippur. Thereby fits the puzzle of Jesus returning to earth on a Yom Kippur. In case you are interested, there is also a first trump idiom, which is blown on Pentecost, because it was the first time recorded in scripture that a shofar trumpet was blown from God himself in Exodus 19. So, let's move on and do a final recap with the last few minutes we have here. So the elect are the righteous during any particular time period. It started with Israel, and then when Christ birthed the church at his resurrection and soon confirmed at Pentecost, those who believe in Yeshua became his elect. So, we believers in Christ are his elect. And when we leave this earth, those who then become righteous during the tribulation time will then be called his elect, as we see in Matthew 24:31. And again, this time the angels gather the earthly elect, also known as the sheep, in Matthew 25, who will then enter the millennial kingdom, but the goats will be cast into hell, awaiting the great white throne judgment of Revelation 20. And then they will be judged according to their works, which, by the way, arouses the thought of believing there must be different degrees of punishments. And I believe that's also confirmed in 2 Timothy 4:14 and Matthew 23:14, and I encourage you to look those up. So it's just interesting also because the unrighteous and the secular-minded always judge each other about going to heaven on their works, their good works especially, or their bad works. Well, at the Great White Throne, they will, because they don't know Jesus, will receive accordingly what they always thought, according to what they did. So yes, Hitler will suffer more than your good neighbor who never made Jesus Lord over their life. And that's how I see it. So, let me ask you this. Are you the first fruits and the elect? You can be. But again, it must be your choice. And I say this every week at the closing of our program because it's the most important thing that you could ever do in your life. If by any chance you're listening right now and you have never made Jesus Lord over your life, don't wait another moment. You know, if we're all wrong about this, you haven't lost anything. But if we're right, you will spend eternity in hell. It's not worth it. So repent of your sins. It's a part of your deliverance from the evil in your life. So repent of your sins and mean it. And then invite him into your heart. Open that door. Because believe me, he is knocking right now. I know that you can feel it. And if you're not where you should be, you are a Christian, but you're kind of like lukewarm, move on and get into your word so that you can be what you need to be in these last days. The Lord needs us all. I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. By the way, the original does say the Lord will. In our English translation, it says may the Lord, but in the original, it says that he will do these things. So, saints, send me your prayer request because I promise to pray for you individually. And tune in next week where we will be addressing other important topics. Till then, Sha'alu, Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in every way possible. You should memorize that, Psalm 122, verse 6. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.